It's 10 a.m.
Wake up time!
And you're listening to Utah's most listened to sports radio show.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G.
Presented by WCF Insurance.
Reminding you to be careful out there.
On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
But for all the sickness to go gone, is I wanted to play with my friends.
It's time to make the donuts. Welcome on in, Hans and Scotty, here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Speaking of donuts, man, how was your weekend?
It was good.
Did you have any good food for the playoffs? Did you put together a good spread?
I didn't, actually. I was so tired.
Oh, yeah, you had a long week. You had a long week.
You know what, you know what we made yesterday? Grilled cheese sandwiches. Like, that's what we're doing.
Mm. How much football did you watch?
I watched a lot of football.
Okay, between Saturday and Sunday, how many hours do you think? Lloyd, how many hours between Saturday and Sunday?
I'd say we're probably pushing 12, 13 hours in 2 days.
And then throw in the Jazz game.
And the Jazz game.
Because I stuck that Jazz game in between game one and game two.
Yeah, yeah. And it was DVR'd. And have you ever done this before where you're watching a game on a DVR and you forget that you're on a DVR and you start to tweet out?
Yeah, stuff. I've done that.
Mm-hmm. I had to delete a couple tweets yesterday during the Jazz game because the game was over. And I'm like, oh, wow, Jazz out to a 12-0
rip
run. Like,
start.
Just what a start in this one.
It's a rip-roaring start. The Jazz look good. Can't believe it. Let's see what Mike Conley can do. Yeah. Keep your fingers crossed.
Donovan started the game out hot. 13 points in the first quarter. Let's see what he does. He's on pace for 50.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've done that a few times, and I always look back, and I'm like, oh, boy. I usually get a tweet really quick back that's like, oh, wow, you're really breaking news here. It's like, oh, okay, then you delete it and stop.
Yeah.
But it was
– no problem not watching that Bears game and watching the Jazz.
That was the game I watched the least, I will say the Bears-Saints game, because I anticipated that would be a blowout, and so I didn't watch much of it.
Agreed. I didn't watch a ton of that.
Yeah.
I watched the most I watched was Cleveland and Pittsburgh.
Much fun was that?
It was a blast. That game was a lot of fun to watch because for a minute you thought, oh, well, that was a fun run there for you, Cleveland.
Yeah.
But now get out of Big Ben's way because Pittsburgh has figured you out. And Cleveland lost their entire offensive line. Like, they were without three offensive linemen.
And their head coach.
Their head coach, who's their play caller. Who apparently had his phone off and was sitting in a basement. That's the reports.
Yeah, bullcrap.
I don't believe that, man.
He was FaceTimed right on that sideline. They're bringing an iPad into the huddle.
Just don't believe. I could almost guarantee you they found a way to get his voice into the helmet of Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Like somehow.
Can we talk about how lame that was? By the way, just let him be on whatever device. Let him be a part of it.
Yeah,
Mike Tirico did the broadcast from his own home.
I know. They're afraid that you can pick up extra signals from camera angles. And there's a couple of other conspiracies behind not letting the coaches who are at home do their thing. That you could have, you know, other people that are sitting around you that are doing analysis and you're getting an unfair breakdown and advantage. And there's all kinds of things behind that. In fact, I think, let's see. I think I'm somewhere between 10 and 12 hours in the 2 days.
Yeah.
And there was some viewership remorse. I did have some good food, Scotty.
All right.
Really good food.
Lay it on me.
Really, really, like. Wow. Okay, so day one,
did you
Saturday.
Just bite your lip?
I did.
Yeah, that was aggressive. Jeez.
Day one, Saturday, we did street tacos, and we did a marinated steak and a marinated chicken, and then we had some beautiful toppings.
Like flank steak, or what do you use?
Yeah, flank steak, nice. And we smoked the flank steak and a really long marinade in the flank steak and the chicken. So that was great. Toppings, we had the, you know, chopped onion and cilantro. We did a mango salsa. We did a creamy chipotle. We did different cheeses. We did it all in a deep-fried corn tortilla. It was just phenomenal. And, you know, it was just out pretty much the whole day. And you keep the meat warm and keep the shells out and some of the toppings, and then you can just make your tacos along the day. So that was great. Sunday, yesterday, did New York steaks. Got New York steaks for $7 a pound.
Wow.
$6.99. And Costco New York steaks.
Yeah, okay. That's quality stuff.
So I love the New York. I love that New York strip. So did a reverse sear on it, just smoked for about an hour, and did a couple things. I did a prime rib rub on it.
All right.
So I did a full prime rib rub because I wanted just a little bit more exterior flavor, and then I wanted a little bit of a crust. And then threw it in the fryer with some olive oil. But what I did is I did a garlic butter mixture. So 3 garlic cloves that are crushed, 4 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 4 teaspoon of kosher salt, 4 teaspoon of pepper, and a full stick of butter, and you whip that up.
Yeah.
And you throw that on the steaks, and then I did sauteed onion and mushroom and packed that kind of on the sides of the steaks, and then I had this massive steel skillet that I bought, and I heated that thing up, threw those suckers on there sizzling. Threw that butter on top. It kind of drizzled down the steaks and heated up on that skillet and started to caramelize with the onions. So you could cut a piece of that steak off. And so I left this huge skillet in the middle of the table with all these New Yorks on it. So you can just cut a piece off, poke a thing of your onion, poke the steak, and take it through that butter and garlic. Wow, that was a good day, man. Just a great day. I'm telling you, man. I don't know what it is about playoff time, but it's become more about the food for me than the football. So we just left that huge skillet out with the New York steaks that you could just, and it kept it piping, you know, sizzling.
Oh,
hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just cut a slice off and poke a sauteed mushroom or an onion.
Sounds really good.
It was great, man. I'm so happy about it. I'm still smiling because those are fun times.
Did you have some leftover steak?
Oh, man. No.
Oh, okay.
No. And the kids weren't allowed to touch it.
Oh, really?
No. Kids had pizza. No. Nope. Until they learn how to respect the steak, and I'm talking about, because I put, this was like, you know, 3 hours of preparation and then, you know, $50 in steaks.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's like, until you learn how to really, truly respect it. Rock's getting close, but he'll still gobble a steak down with A1.
No.
Yeah. And I'm just like, no, we're not doing that. If I ever bring home like some type of garbage sirloin and if I overcook it, then you can drench it in A1.
Do whatever you want. Get that A1 off of there.
But it was a good weekend, man. I hope everybody out there enjoyed this weekend, and I hope everybody out there is getting ready to enjoy tonight's game. I know that this is going to be a garbage game, but it's the national championship.
No. I got a feeling like Ohio State might be able to stick around in this thing.
Well, look, dude, I will give way to you because my predictions.
No. My
predictions weren't so hot.
You and me both had a rough day. And how about Weddle?
Was it 5-1?
5-1
against the spread.
Against the spread. Yeah.
Are you sure you still want to bring him on Thursday?
Oh, he is going to let.
It's going to be unbearable.
He is going to let us know about
it. It's going to be unbearable because he started in on Scotty and I on text.
Oh, I know.
What, maybe 5 minutes into the first game?
Yeah.
And he's like, and then for a minute, I thought I was going to come out of that one okay. And then it didn't turn out good.
No.
But yeah, Eric's going to be a lot of fun. What is he coming on Wednesday?
Thursday.
Eric Weddle for another NFL postgame preview show.
A lot to get to on the program today. Yes, we have a national championship game in college football coming up tonight. Excited for that one. And looking forward to seeing if Ohio State can make a game out of this. You don't think so, huh?
I don't. I don't, and I've got a couple of reasons for that. I know we're going to hit that in what you may have missed really hard, but I thought, why not have a little bit of fun here in our opening segment?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
A little fun.
Let's get to it.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
And now it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup. Starting Lineup. Presented by University of Utah Health. Gotta love it! On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Gigi, since you've been here, the Browns have had a few different head coaches, a couple different quarterbacks, a lot of different faces on defense. Do you feel, after playing them twice so far, do you feel like this Browns team has a different vibe, a more successful vibe than what you've seen in the past from them?
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year.
And the snap goes high over the head of Big Ben, all the way back to the 2, to the 1, and the Browns have it in the end zone, and they dive on the ball and recover it for a touchdown! Carl Joseph's got it in the end zone, a touchdown!
Not a bad start.
6-0 Browns! Marquise Bouncey just sailed the ball over the head of Big Ben, who looked at James Conner. They raced back towards inside the 5-yard line. It went into the end zone. B.J. Goodson and Carl Joseph were over there, and Joseph recovers it.
I think they're nameless great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, it's the Browns.
Baker's got the snap on 3rd down and 4. Delivers the ball. It's caught. Landry's got it at the 25. At the 20. Peoples-Jones blocking for him. He's at the 10, the 5. He leaps and scores. Touchdown. And the Browns lead 13-0. Baker Mayfield to Jarvis Landry.
And that's just like one of those things that, you know, AFC North football, and they're a good team, but I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
Takes the snap on 1st down. Back to pass. Throws it over the middle. Picked off. Taki's got it at the 40, at the 30, at the 25-yard line. Sione, Taki. 3:16 left to go in the game. Big Ben throws his 4th interception of the night. And the Browns defense comes up with a huge play.
Ah, oh, man, good job, Lloyd. Well done. Yes, it was nice to see the Cleveland Browns get a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I know I've got a lot of buddies that are big fans of the Steelers, a lot of buddies that played for the Steelers, and I know I've got some ties to the Steelers. But I wanted to see the Browns win. This was the first Browns win since 1994. In the NFL postseason. Scotty, 1994. I think you were a junior?
Yeah.
I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, green and ready to take on the world. That's the last time the Cleveland Browns got a win in the NFL postseason.
That's what we call the good old days.
Okay. So a little walk down memory lane, because 1994. So you would have been.
Scotty had a pitchfork in his hand at that.
No. That was in the 80s.
Okay.
And he wasn't going after hay.
Well, yeah.
Was, but somebody got in the way.
That was back in the day of family, friends, and good times. Lloyd, you would have been what, at 7th grade? 5th grade? 6th grade?
No, I was 14, so yeah, 8th grade.
Eighth grade? Okay. Okay, little walk down memory lane here. 1994, you ready for this?
Yeah.
Top grossing films, Forrest Gump, $330 million. Lion King, $313. True Lies.
Oh, that was a great movie.
$146. Dumb and Dumber.
Wow, 94 was a good year for movies.
$127 million for Dumb and Dumber. Dumb and Dumber came in 6th. Clear and Present Danger, 7th, 8th. No. Speed?
Speed only finished 8th?
Uh-huh. The Mask, 9th?
I didn't like that movie.
And here's your baby, Pulp Fiction, finished 10th at $108 million. Super Bowl halftime show that year was...
Hold on. Do you have the game?
I don't have the game.
That would have been... I think that was the first Buffalo-Dallas game.
Okay. 1994. Now... You would have gone on 4 years later to work in this industry, hitting the post.
Yes.
It was Rockin' Country Sunday.
Rockin' Country Sunday.
Winona Judd, Clint Black, Tanya Tucker, and Travis Tritt, which I guess I didn't know this until I did some research. It's known as the worst halftime in Super Bowl history.
Oh, really? Wow. Well, okay. Because even in 94, those weren't really – I mean, Winona, you know, I'd rather have the mom than Winona. On the
is it Winona? I thought she is the mom. Is she?
No, Winona was the daughter. So Winona and Ashley or are the daughters. Oh. I forget the mom's name. Anyway, not important.
I'm forgetting the mom's name, too.
Let's see.
Clint Black.
Clint Black was okay. Travis Tritt was pretty big back then. T-R-O-U-B-L-E. That's a good song.
What was Tanya Tucker known for?
Oh, man. Nothing.
Do you miss hitting the post on country music?
I do miss mid-90s, late-90s country music. That was the golden era of good quality country music.
Okay, Scotty, I want you to think back to your junior year in high school. You'd have had a job, right?
Just working for the old man on the farm.
Okay. Do you take a guess at what minimum wage was in 1994?
Ooh, that's a great
question. I remember it because I was working for a sprinkler installation company for
that
summer.
And they paid you minimum wage?
Then I got minimum wage.
I would say $4.15.
$4.25.
All
really
right.
Close, buddy. 1 pound of 80% lean ground beef was $1.39 back then.
Oh, jeez.
What are we on 80/20 now? Like $3.20?
Easy. Yeah.
So our beef has gone way up. The World Series got canceled that year because of the Major League Baseball strike.
Yeah.
And the last but not least, the Browns became the first team. Oh, that was this was part of this other one. So there you go. Just a flashback to 1994.
I'm going to do a quick Google search, see what gas prices were.
Oh, let me guess. 1994, I was driving a 1977 Cadillac Eldorado soft top. And
oh man, this is going to make you sick.
I want to say it was $1.65.
How about $1.11?
Oh man. I was off. $1.11 a gallon.
Because I remember you'd go to the gas station with a $5 bill, put $5 in there, and that'd get you through the week.
Yep. Get me through a couple days in that Eldorado.
Well, the Eldorado, yeah. Oh, yeah, I drove a Plymouth Horizon, so yeah, I could get a lot of mileage.
Ooh. You get 30 miles out of that.
Yeah, yeah.
You?
Yeah, well, easy, yeah.
I got like 8. it's the heaviest car ever built? Like, it was bad.
And you and a bunch of defensive linemen from Weezer jumping in there. That sucker's going to weigh down
and
there.
I didn't drive it like I was driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah,
like,
no.
We would be off the side of the road. It drove like a Humvee.
Oh,
you couldn't tip it. You could not tip that thing. So
not
we'd
for
see,
lack of trying.
We'd see how far we could push it, and you just couldn't tip it. My dad actually, he took a huge fan blade and drilled it into the front of the fender.
Yeah.
So when I drove, the fan would spin. He also decaled my number 72 on the side. You've seen pictures.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty sweet. But $1.11 a gallon for gas. Those, Scotty, 1994, those were the good days.
Hey, those are good movies. Good gas price, good price on beef. Time to hop in the DeLorean and go back to 1994.
I didn't jump into the music part of 1994, but the music part of 1994 was phenomenal, too.
I don't know. Too much Ace of Base.
Oh, man. I think, was 94, is that when Radiohead started to kick?
Yeah, I'd be around there.
And then Nirvana was big, right?
May have been the tail end of Nirvana. I think that was the year that we lost Kurt Cobain. All right. All right. Here we go. Wow. I nailed that one. Top 100 singles of 1994. Number one, The Sign, Ace of Base.
Which was awesome. I'm still a huge Ace of Base fan.
Remember I Swear All for One was number two.
Now that's terrible. That's bad music.
The Power of Love, Celine Dion.
That's terrible.
Hero, Mariah Carey.
Oh,
I thought
my
for
gosh.
Sure you would have been All for One guy.
Jeez, I wasn't. I really missed on the music. This is all trash.
And how about this? All That She Wants, Ace of Base, 9. Don't Turn Around, number 10, Ace of Base. Wow, they had a really good year that year. Bump and Grind, R. Kelly. I wonder whatever happened to that guy.
Oh, man, I've got five things I want to say.
I know, me too.
This is when I wish we were on X.
I know. Maybe hold that one back a little bit. Yeah. Not great year for music.
Not a good year for music.
No.
What about
remember Shine from Collective Soul?
Wait a second. Hold on just a gosh darn second.
Shoop, Salt and Pepper.
Isn't 94, 95, isn't that when Rage Against the Machine started to hit?
Yeah, I don't know.
U2 was really big.
But they're not going to pop into the, U2 would, but I don't know if Rage is going to pop into the Billboard year-end Hot 100 singles of 94.
95 was the year I snuck out of the house to go watch the Toadies in concert downtown Boise.
Yeah. Hey, coming in at number 23, If You Go from John Cicada. Did I say that right?
You said it right,
okay, good.
Man.
No, I've said it wrong so many times I can't remember how to say it right.
That's awesome. Where did that one come
number in? Number 23. Coming in at number 35, Crash Test Dummies.
That was a good one.
All I Want to Do, Sheryl Crow, number 34. Love that song.
That should be number one.
Yep.
Out of all the songs you've said so far,
yeah,
that's number one for me.
Whoop, there it is. Came in at number 42.
I can't believe that. I thought that would have came like 92 or 93. Wow. So the music wasn't the best, but there you go. So, Scotty, the Browns became the first team to score 28 points in the first quarter of a playoff game since the Oakland Raiders did it. Lloyd, can you name the year that the Oakland Raiders scored 28 points in the first quarter of a playoff game?
Jeez, it's been so long since they've been in the playoffs.
It's been a lot of years, so you're going to have to go back, maybe even pre-birth.
I don't know.
Really? I don't know. Wait a minute,
28 points in a quarter. That's pretty nice. I don't know when.
You got to go back to, I got to check this team, but I think it may have been Madden. Well,
ooh, it'd been right there. Yeah, could.
69?
Yes, it is. 1969.
Brian Adams.
What?
That was summer of 69.
Oh, summer of 69. My bad.
Whatever.
Let's see. I got to check and see what this 69 team was all about. Oakland Raiders, John Madden. Head coach, 1969 to 1978.
Wow.
Oh, the good old days.
Them's the good old days, buddy.
All right. Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Matt Harrison hanging out with us right now on the Zone Sports Network from Loan Depot. Matt, how are you?
Hey, Matt.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing really well. So let's talk about a reverse mortgage. What is that and how can that help some of our listeners?
Oh, my gosh. You had to ask me, right?
Yeah.
All right. So reverse mortgage. Let's kind of get into this a little bit. There's a lot of misinformation out there about reverse mortgages, why they're used, why someone would want one. Is it beneficial? And really, my goal, guys, is to give accurate information so that, you know, your listeners can really understand what this program is about and how it works and really see that, this is a premium, wonderful program. And again, there's a lot of misinformation out there about it right now.
So when you, who are people that qualify for this and how can it help them out?
Okay, perfect. So first off, qualifying, you have to be at least 62 or better. Okay. So, and if you're married, it's okay if your spouse is under 62, but at least one of you has to be 62. It has to be a primary residence. Okay, so you can't do this for a vacation home or investment property or anything like that. You have to, live in the property, maintain the property, continue to pay your property taxes and insurance. But guys, this is where it gets really cool. With a forward mortgage, when you make a payment, you pay principal and interest, a little bit of taxes and insurance, right, goes into that payment, and it goes to lowering your principal and interest. But when you make that payment, you can't necessarily take the payment back. Or if you run into hard times, you can't just say, well, I decide today or this month, I'm not going to make a payment. With a reverse mortgage, that's not the case. So So with a reverse, payments are optional. All right. So in other words, your principal and interest payments don't need to be made, but if they do, it can come with some actual benefits for you, which are really unique. One of the programs that I absolutely love with the reverse mortgage program actually allows for a line of credit growth. So in other words, Hans, if you made a $2,000 payment mm-hmm. and you happen to be 62, you got a few years to go, mm-hmm. wouldn't it be great to make that $2,000 payment, watch your loan balance go down, but then also see that $2,000 go right into a line of credit, which is then growing for you with interest?
Interesting. Yeah. It would be nice to see that for sure.
Yeah. So this is a part of this program that allows for flexibility. Your home, this equity that you have in your home, becomes an asset that you can actually access. So it's like a checking account. You know, you put money into it, you can take money out. And again, that's one of the wonderful things about it, is it allows for this flexibility to be there in your home, so that this isn't money that's locked away in an asset. This is something you can actually use. So I've made a bunch of videos. There's a couple of ways that you can contact me, okay? So you can get me on my cell phone, 801-330-2200. I'll say it one more time, 801-330-2200, or I've made a website with a ton of informational videos. If you go to reverseourhome.com, again, reverseourhome.com, pop in there. You can learn all about this fantastic program.
Reverseourhome.com. That's a great website. You can see the videos and make sure that this is and get some information. Or you can just call. And we don't have a lot of guys to hand out their cell phone numbers. Matt has done that. 801-330-2200. We've had guys give out cell phones on accident, but never on purpose. 801-330-2200. Matt, looking forward to chatting with you throughout the show. Thanks for your time.
Sounds so great, guys. Can't wait.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Harrison right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Let's go!
The Big Show.
It's a big deal!
With Gordon Monson and Jake Scott.
Howard Beck from Sports Illustrated. The past few years, the Jazz have gotten off to slow starts, and we try to come up with theories every single year as to why maybe they start a little slower than we would expect. Do you have any theories as to why that happens to teams?
I don't. I mean, look, in any given season, it happens in this league. You guys know that this is generally my philosophy on these things. If you're an established team, I'm not worried about you getting off to a slow start. We know what the Jazz are. We know what they're capable of. They brought back whatever 90-something percent of their core. There's no reason to think this start is indicative of some larger problem.
The Big Show, weekdays from 2 to 7 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone. All right, so this is why I love doing shows in the middle of a Jazz season. Because on Friday, there was a lot of gloom and doom. And we're thinking, oh, man, this team, they're struggling. They've had a couple of losses here. And then you said something near the end of the show, and I agreed with you. You're like, you know what? This is the kind of team that it wouldn't surprise me at all if they go out and they beat Milwaukee by 10-plus points and have themselves a killer weekend. I'm like, you know what? That's a very Utah Jazz thing to do. And sure enough, they go and they beat Milwaukee, go 25 of 53 from three, 47% from beyond the line, and beat the Bucks. And then they don't shoot it particularly well against Detroit, but still get out to a big lead and end up getting the win at Detroit. And now go 2-0 over the weekend, and the vibe around Jazz Nation is a little different than it was on Friday.
It totally different. Well, it is after that Milwaukee win. And by the way, they beat Milwaukee in every quarter. They outscored Milwaukee in every single quarter. They beat them from the jump. They beat them in every way that you could possibly beat them. They beat them in percentages. They beat them in rebounding. They just straight up beat Milwaukee. And that's an impressive win. That's a really impressive win. A couple of things over the weekend that I was taking a look at this morning when I was trying to put some notes together for the show. Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley combined for 99 points and 26 assists in those two games.
I love the assist number.
1 point away from 100 points combined for those two players in those two games. And 26 assists. Those are some pretty incredible numbers coming from those two. And the thought came to me when I was watching the Pistons game in between the two NFL playoff games yesterday. And I did miss kind of some of that Saints-Bears game because it leaked into that a bit. But Mike Conley is quick. Now, I know everybody's going to have their own thoughts on an X factor or their own thoughts on the engine. Mike Conley, to me, is becoming the X factor more and more. I feel like Donovan Mitchell is going to be the engine. Rudy Gobert is going to be the mortar. He's going to be the brick and mortar. But Mike Conley is the X factor. So largely how Rudy Gobert goes, this team goes. How wins and losses go might be how Mike Conley goes.
Yeah, I can see that. For sure.
Because Mike Conley in these last two games was spectacular. Mike Conley in these last two games was exactly what you needed him to be. And it was fun to watch him. Now, against Detroit, he wasn't quite as active in assists, didn't have the 10 assists, but showed up and had six.
Yeah, six assists, still an impressive number.
Listen to his last five games in assists. 7, 6, 10, 6, and 5. And you brought up a stat about Mike Conley having 10-plus assists in his career. He had not had many 10-assist nights.
No.
He's got two so far this year in 10 games. So I was really impressed by Mike Conley, and I feel like he can be part of the engine and the X factor. Problem is, you need it more, as much as you need it offensively, he has to be somewhat in position and somewhat able to guard some of these guards that he's going to see when things really tighten up.
You know, the other thing, too, is I know Boyan hasn't started off the season particularly well shooting. And Mike Conley's picked up that slack. I mean, in a day where Boyan yesterday goes 3 of 11, 0 for 5 from 3, Mike Conley goes 8 of 13 and 2 of 14 and has 22 points. And so picking up the scoring output when, you know, walking that line of being a distributor but also knowing when to score and when to try to get in the lane, the floater's going for him. He's hitting the outside shot well. This is the Mike Conley we expected at the beginning of last season, when he jumped out on the scene after the Jazz were able to acquire him, and certainly it has been a huge addition for this team.
Big-time addition. The other thing that you and I talked about on Friday before that Utah Jazz-Milwaukee game was Derek Favors' court presence, potentially getting more minutes. And Derek Favors was on the court for 23 minutes against Milwaukee, but back to 17 minutes the night after against Detroit. I'm hoping to see Derek's minutes continue to boost a bit. I like his production. I like the way he moves on the court. And I like what you can get from Derek in diversity defensively. Derek can switch and rotate, and he can defend a lot of different areas, and he can defend maybe just a little bit quicker down the court. There's no question that Rudy Gobert is everything defense, but it is fun to see a switch-up punch with Derek Favors. And I do think it was effective at times against Milwaukee. So, Scotty, I loved what I saw from this Jazz team over the weekend. It was nice to see them get some One very impressive game. Detroit is definitely struggling. They're not the best team. You could see they're really struggling with their shot. They're struggling on their own, let alone putting a Utah Jazz team in front of them. But it was really a nice weekend to see the Jazz get a couple of wins.
Yeah. Tomorrow will mark 4 games in 6 days upcoming for the Jazz. They got 2 more games on this long road trip. They'll be at Cleveland. Then they'll be at Washington. They come home for a quick game against Atlanta on the 15th and then turn around and hit the road and go to Denver. And then after that, the Jazz are home for a good spell. I think it's a 6 game in a row that they'll be at home. And so they'll make up some ground here at home coming up here in a bit. But these 3 out of the next 4 are going to be on the road. You got 1 home game kind of slammed in between 2 road games. And you got 4 games in 6 days. It's going to be a tough stretch. Now, the opponents, Cleveland, not great. Washington might be without Westbrook in that game, I believe. And then you got Atlanta and New Orleans, or excuse me, Atlanta and then Denver. So, games that you just look at them individually and you should win a good chunk of those. But the travel and everything else comes into it's going to make it difficult on these guys. I'm curious to see how they handle that.
What do you think is the difference with Mike Conley?
Oh, man.
Is it feeling more comfortable with Quinn?
I think that's it. I also think that because we saw, and, there were some rumors about some injuries at the early part of last season. But I also think that when he got into the bubble, he was a different player. He played much better when he got in the bubble. So that leads me to believe that maybe there was some lingering injury issues that he was dealing with. And then you're right. I think it's the, you know what to expect. You know what you're dealing with in terms of Quinn and what he expects out of you. And then, I would ask you this, and I don't know how much this affects you. I don't know if, were you ever traded or anything, AFL or anything, midseason or anything like that?
Not midseason, just postseason.
I mean, it probably, when you're in Memphis for, 12, 13 years, and you know what path to take to get to the arena, you know where your kids are going to school, wife's happy.
The logistics of everything.
Everything is just calm, it just runs on a nice system, and everybody's in their groove. And then you uproot that, and you put that into a new team with new teammates, and a new school for your kids, and your wife, is trying to figure out how to deal with things and where to go and who to trust. Those are all issues, and you've got all this stuff that you're trying to figure out. And then when you finally figure it out and you get back to just worrying about basketball, you probably are a better player. And, that's just my 2 cents. I don't know how to – I would imagine if you're a single dude in the NBA, you probably make that adjustment pretty easy. But when you have a wife and you have kids and you have other responsibilities, it probably wears on you a little bit. And I'm sure, I don't know. I've never met the Conleys. I don't know their family dynamic. But I would imagine, your wife would probably come up to you just like, hey, I hate to bother you with this, but I've got these 3 pediatricians. Do you have an idea which one we should go to? And you're like, I don't know.
Well, because she was pregnant during
too. I forgot about that. Yeah, absolutely.
Had a baby in the bubble.
Yeah.
Or while Mike was in the bubble. It would be a nightmare, a headache. It'd be really tough. So, yeah, I could see that. And then how about this, throwing in that it's a contract year?
Yep.
Not that should be the full incentive, but Mike Conley's playing for future.
Yeah.
He knows that he could make some real money if he has a good year. And it wouldn't be that hard to have a good year inside this system with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell next to you.
They make life a little easier for you, for sure.
And once Boyan starts hitting, I think Mike Conley's assist numbers will improve.
I agree with that.
I'll be interested to see where he ends up in assist average at the end of this year. Really interested. He may have, I'm just looking this up, he may have one of his better assist years of his career if he can keep up these numbers. So he's averaged 6.5 so far in January, and he averaged 5 in December. What is his career average? So he's averaging right now through the season nearly 6 assists.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
That's really impressive.
So his career average, well, I'm just looking through some of his best years, Scotty. His best year in assists was 6.5.
Wow. And he's there right now. What year was that?
And that was in 2011. He was at 6.5 in 2011. And he's nearly 6 right now.
Hmm.
So, and by the way, I know some people talked about it, some people have mentioned it, but I think that there is a correlation right now going on with the Jazz and assists and wins and losses.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Just feels right when Donovan is moving the ball and Conley is moving the ball. It all just feels right the way this Jazz offense flows. But I don't – have we ever really been – for the last year, 2 years, have we been nervous about the Jazz offense? It really becomes about the Jazz defense.
This is a defensive-oriented team. Yep.
So I'm excited to continue to watch it. 10 games in, you know, you could take a little bit of a sample size. You can start to learn a little bit about them. But there's still a lot to learn about this team, their gut, their fortitude, you know, what they're going to do in big-time crunch moments, big games.
Yeah. 10:47, Hans and Scotty, what you may have missed coming up next right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Number one.
The Zone Sports Network is Utah's number one choice for sports radio in Utah. From DJ and PK to Hanson Scotty and The Big Show with Gordon Monson and Jake Scott, The Zone continues to dominate the competition. Thank you to all of you that continue to make The Zone Sports Network Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports station. Your home for the best coverage of the teams you're passionate about is right here. 97.5 1280 The Zone. In the Zone Sports Network.
Don't have time to watch every game or read every story.
Fortunately, we do.
Here's what you may have missed on 97.5 1280 The Zone
and the Zone Sports Network.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of What You May Have Missed. Not a lot of you are going to miss this tonight. You've got a national championship game, Alabama and Ohio State.
Okay, so the big question is, does Jaylen Waddle play? And if Jaylen Waddle plays, how much can you get from Jaylen Waddle? Because remember, before Jaylen Waddle went out, he was actually a better receiver than Devonta Smith,
yeah,
the guy that just won the Heisman.
Jaylen Waddle would have won the Heisman.
And I also want people to remember that Ohio State's biggest weakness is their defensive backfield. Now, they've got they've got two corners that are decent, but their safeties are major liability. Sean Wade is going to be drawing sole responsibility to line up over Devonta Smith, and he's going to have to find a way to defend him coming up tonight. But the problem is a lot of people are talking about the safeties. Josh Proctor and Marcus Williamson, the two safeties, are going to have a major task. Now, whether Jaylen Waddle plays or not, those guys are going to have to be on point in run support and in coverage. But if Jaylen Waddle plays, it's going to be a boat race.
Well, and if he plays and if he's anywhere near 100%, oh, yeah, watch out.
So for people out there, he fractured his ankle back in October of October. And he's been going through rehab and been trying to get back. It was looked at as a season-ending injury. But October 24th, you know, he's had some time to repair and rehab. You don't want to do anything that's going to get in the way of, you know, NFL potential, or if it's going to screw up another year, if you feel like that ankle's going to pop or break or re-injure. Even if you're feeling a little bit of pain, I don't know how much of the pain you really want to fight through, but most of the medical experts that I've read looked at that injury and said, okay, well, realistically, it could have healed and he could be back playing tonight.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you're Jaylen Waddle, do you play in this game? You got an NFL draft coming up in 4 months.
Yeah, I do. I look at this and I'm like,
he's a first-round pick regardless.
I'm going to go out, and it's a national championship game, the biggest stage in college football. Maybe I couldn't get a Heisman. Maybe I can get a national championship MVP trophy. Maybe I can put up record numbers. This is a guy that he could pull down 130 yards in receiving with his eyes closed.
Yeah, I like that.
And against Ohio State's backfield in particular. So what I love about this is one of my favorite types of matchups, Scotty. So now you've got an Ohio State defensive coordinator that understands, okay, we got wideouts that are going to threaten us, and we've got power up the middle that's going to threaten us. But what we absolutely can't do is let this Alabama quarterback sit in the pocket.
Yeah.
Can't let him. If he can set, we are done. So what kinds of blitzes do we see tonight? What type of defensive ingenuity and creativity do we see tonight? This weekend in postseason play, it was fun to watch some of the NFL defenses throw things against the wall, some of their different blitzing and schemes. The Ravens bringing 5 and 6 consecutively, and what they were doing defensively was phenomenal. But Ohio State's going to have to be creative tonight. They're going to have to figure out a way to put pressure on Mac. And I don't know if it's possible. I don't, you know, people be like, well, how about you go coach and do it? Well, that's why I don't coach, because I don't want to have to come up with that plan, because you throw something out there and the next thing you know, oh yeah, we can go with double twists on the outside, and then those guards are washing your D tackles and you've got these big wide open gaps and they're gashing you off audibles and you're like, I'm an idiot. I'm a real idiot. Forget about the double twist, boys. We're just going to go back to base. You go back to base, and Alabama sits in the pocket and guns you. You're done. So tonight's going to be interesting, but there's Ohio State.
You just don't think there's a chance.
I'm not exactly picking against the spread at a high rate right now. I'm not exactly picking against the spread at a high rate right now. But
I don't even know. What is the spread in this game? Do you know?
I would be shocked. Absolutely shocked.
So you don't know it?
Huh?
You don't know the spread?
No.
Okay. Don't look. I'm going to see if you can guess it.
Okay.
I'm pulling it up right now. Hold on.
All right.
Okay.
I've got a guess.
Lloyd, do you know what it is?
Nope. I haven't looked yet.
All right. Why don't you two try to take a stab at this thing?
I'm going to go 8.5. Alabama.
5. I'll go 5, Alabama.
Winner, winner, 9.
Oh, my.
9?
Kiss my butt! Roll Tide!
I think there's some money to be made on this one.
Roll damn Tide.
9's not enough. I figured.
Man, if it's a double-digit game, I'm going to be bummed out. And
I am
I'm sure
too,
it is.
But it is. It's there's no other way around it. It's going to be a double-digit game.
Ohio State was terrible, too. Those games were terrible. This game's going to be terrible, too? Oh.
Yeah. Did we have a good playoff game?
No, we didn't. Not really. Never. No. I don't think any of those games really felt like they were ever in doubt. Did you?
No. No, I didn't.
I mean, Cleveland's up 28-0 right out of the gate.
Okay, so the question comes out. Now, they held Clemson to 28 points. For those of you that didn't get to see it. Now, Trevor Lawrence, obviously, what did he finish, second in the Heisman or third in the Heisman race?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
He went 33 of 48, threw for 400 yards against Ohio State. They just couldn't punch it in. They had trouble getting into the end zone. Held them to 28 points, but Trevor Lawrence was all over the field. Listen to this. They held Clemson's rushing to 44 yards. Clemson, with Travis Etienne, another Heisman hopeful, was held to 32 yards on 10 carries in that game. So Ohio State can get stout and they can control gaps. But the problem is they can't and Alabama's got the best receiver in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
Two of them.
And if Waddle plays, the two best receivers.
And a quarterback that can get it to him.
Yeah, I think he's – I really like him. I think he's going to be a good pro.
Do you really?
Yeah. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Matt Harrison's hanging out with us from Loan Depot. And some great information at reverseourhome.com, Matt, because we hear the phrase reverse mortgage all the time, but I don't think a lot of people really truly know what that means and how it can help a lot of people.
No, and to be honest with you, it kind of started out as a program designed to help those that were, you know, in dire straits. It was the last ditch effort to pull whatever money they could out to really help them. And the program has changed so much since it was first developed, and especially with changes that happened in 2017. It really is a premium program, and it does. It helps so many people.
Okay, so I'm curious on this. Let's say I'm 62, and let's say I've got a home that's worth, you know, $800,000, but I owe... What?
Part of the course.
That's pretty standard.
Whatever.
Hans Olsen home right there.
No, that is not. What? Out of the three of us on this station right now, you don't have room to talk, Scotty. I think you probably got the most equity. But let's say I owe $250,000 on it. Is that something that I can start to work into this reverse mortgage?
Yeah. So I want you to think about it this way, Hans. Let's say you know you've made good money throughout your life. And you're starting to wind things down, you know, you're 62 or better, and you're ready to retire, or you're ready to kind of slow things down. But by doing that, your income position obviously is going to change. You know, you're going to be pulling Social Security, maybe 401k, if you've planned really well, a pension possibly. So you've got some money that's coming in, but you still have that monthly payment. So in your example, you've got a $250,000 mortgage that's sitting there. And you're just stroking that payment every single month.
Mm-hmm.
And to what end? You make the payment, it goes into paying down that mortgage, but you can't draw the money back.
Right.
So if you think about it, you say, all right, I really want to increase my cash flow. Great. And this is a perfect example. I'm going to make this really easy math. All right. So let's say that you got that $800,000 home. Divide the approximate appraised value, which is 800 grand, by two. So if you had a $400,000 mortgage or less, this program is something you really need to look at, because those principal and interest payments can become optional for you and not something that's mandatory.
Great thing to do, right, Matt, is just get to the website, reverseourhome.com. Talk about these videos you've got up there to help people get some more information on this.
Oh, they're so much fun. So I've gone through and I've developed a series of videos that go through and answer the questions. What is a reverse? How do I use it? When is it good to start looking at this program? What is the line of credit? We go through all of these along with some testimonial videos that we're building. And you get so much information there. So really highly recommend you go there, reverseourhome.com, or call me. Okay. Yeah, and I do get my cell phone, and it is on purpose. I feel like I have a very personal relationship with my client. So 801-330-2200 again, 801-330-2200. And then a little tease for our next segment, guys. I'm going to talk about how you can use this program to purchase a home. It's going to blow you away.
Ooh, there awesome. You go. Go to reverseourhome.com or call Matt directly, 801-330-2200, right here on the Zone Sports Network.